Blog Talk Radio.
Muhammad's Talk Radio. I'm once again pleased to be here with you and do this wonderful show that Almighty God Allah has allowed me to do, and to be able to deliver a timely message, one for the salvation of our people, the black people, the so-called Negroes, up from slavery, the original man and woman. We're here once again at Muhammad's Talk Radio to deliver to you this timely and urgent message of do for self or suffer the consequences. Today I have with me Brother Michael Mahanada as our special guest here at Muhammad's Talk Radio. And he is one of the brothers that was born into the Nation of Islam. And he has a lot of information that he can give us as a young man and share with the brothers out there in the listening audience, you know, what Islam has done for him and how it was as coming up as a young man in the Nation of Islam, and the struggles that he went through in his life, and the ups and downs, and just many things that he wants to discuss with us here today about life in America as a Muslim follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I welcome you, Brother Mike. Give the listening audience some kind of feedback about the different things that I was saying.
I would like to greet my righteous family all over the world. The Arabic words of Islam Alaikum, peace and paradise to everyone that's listening today. It's a blessing to be here today, to be alive today, to be able to talk about the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaching, because a lot of brothers and sisters, I won't speak on a lot of brothers and sisters, I'll just say from my experiences, have, you know, downplayed, just kind of kept it quiet on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching. But those teachings help me stay focused on what I need to do in this world, being around this devil and having to deal with this devil and going out having to get devil jobs and learning how to keep that do for self in my heart. And now I am doing for self, and that's all I depend on now, is staying on the messenger program and doing for self and making my own money and making Allah my paymaster, not the devil my paymaster. So my life, when you say your life and your death is all for Allah, that means everything that you are involved in while you are living. When you go off and say, well, I want to go here and do something on the devil's in the devil's playground, that means that your life and your death is not all for Allah. That means you've given some of your life to that devil. So I've learned throughout the years that you have to dedicate yourself to what you are saying. When you say the prayer, when you say your life and your death is all for Allah, that's what that means. That's a serious thing, a serious matter. And I once again would like to thank Elijah for having me here, and the blessing to all is for Allah. All praise is to Allah forever and ever for life in itself.
Well, Brother Mike, has it been a real difficult struggle being a young man in America and practicing the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Has it been really that hard for you? Because it seemed like to me a lot of young people don't want to accept Islam and they want to do something in another kind of way. And I'm just trying to think, maybe they're doing it because the program is too hard to follow.
Well, the program is not hard to follow. A lot of people, just speaking on myself, they make it hard on themselves just following rules and regulations of the program. It's not that it's hard. We make it hard on ourselves from just not following this following the blueprint that was already laid out. It's already there. Everybody want to add in and take out and feel like they got something else better to do. But when you see somebody else doing it, and it's progress, making progress, and it's doing, it's very, the message is very successful in this blueprint. Then you look at that and base it on that. And a lot of people want to have their own experiences and feel like they need to go out there and do it their own and hit rock bottom. No, you don't have to. People make these decisions on their own, so it's not really hard. The hard thing is getting yourself together, getting acquainted with yourself. That's more of the hardest thing, to get yourself in tune with Allah. You have to get yourself in tune with Allah.
And what would you say would be the best way for a black man here in America to get himself in tune with Allah? I mean, what suggestion would you give them?
I would say a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer. The number one thing, prayer. That prayer 5 times a day, brothers and sisters, it do work. And Allah do hear your prayer. That's the main thing. And then from there, Allah will give you the tools and guidance for what you need to make it in this world today. Because if Allah said he's going to destroy the devil, and you with Allah, you won't go down with those devils.
Oh, okay. So you're saying the first prerequisite is prayer to Allah. So I guess that would carry us back to the first principle of Allah. You have to believe in Allah first before you can go through praying to Allah, because a lot of people in the world, they don't believe that Allah is God. There's a lot of people that don't believe that Master Prophet Muhammad is God in person. And a lot of them that have been trained by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad won't even represent it like that. What do you think? What is your point of view on that, brother?
Well, the thing is, when you say Allah, that's what Arabic term means, God. So they, you can associate God. You can associate that with other forms of God where you feel like is the God. But the messenger brought us face to face with God, so we don't have to associate Allah with another God. We have Master Prophet Muhammad. And for those who don't want to accept that and feel like, you know, that Allah is just that name that we use and that's what we represent, that's the only representation of God, then they'll have to go to the Quran where it says seek for God's face. I don't have the Quran with me right now to go to exactly the page, but we will get to that later on where we can read that. I don't want to just say anything and say I'm going off my head. This is written. A lot of us need to go back into our books, reading our books, and understanding God is a powerful force and is a real force and has a faith. When you use the term he and him, those are pronouns, you know. So you have to, we have to get into that English, you know. We're English. We, unfortunately, we speak this bastard language, so we have to really get deep into it and understand this English language. So being that we don't understand the forms and of God, the creation of God, so that we can know that there is a real force. If we came from God. As a man, you come from God. Don't you feel like that God will be a man as well?
Yeah, well, a lot of people, even though the Bible say that man was made in the image and likeness of God, made he, him, male and female, they still can't get that through their head that if you were made in the image of a thing, then you must be just like that thing, looking like that thing, or part of that thing. But somehow the people have been twisted where they don't want to see God as a man. And can you give me some insight into how that got started? How is it that you feel now, even though the word is in there, he and him and made in his image and likeness, how did it come about that now you can't hardly get anyone to believe that God is a man? Not just any man, but the black man, the supreme being. How did that come about like that, Brother Michael?
Well, we have to go back. We have to go back to the slavery. We have to go through slavery that was beat into us to believe in the mystery God, to believe in that God that is not real, to believe in that devil, to believe in that evil force that's the only thing that exists. So it goes back to that slave mentality that's still embedded in our minds, embedded in our souls, embedded in our that germ that we have inside of us. We have to conquer that germ, that negative germ, to understand that that's the only thing that keeps us from knowing God, is that negative germ that we feed on every day. Then you have to understand that there's a powerful force, and that force is real. That force is real, and that force is in you. That God is in you. That righteousness that you see, that the brothers are doing, that good stuff that you do every day, those good deeds, that love that you show, that's that God in you. So when you see that in you, and you do those deeds, and you do those good deeds, and you do those loving things, that is God within inside of you. And when you do those evil things, that is the devil. So we have grasped a hold of more of that evil germ than that righteous germ and that God germ. So we will believe that evil more so than the God germ. You have to conquer that God germ. I have to go back to prayer. Prayer is the only thing that can destroy that. When you pray to God, He destroys that degree by degree, so that you can get closer to God and you can eliminate that germ.
Yes, 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 brother. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad kind of explained it to us. He said that we had a dominant germ and a weak germ. He said that the brown germ was a weak germ, and it was a germ that Mr. Yaqub, yes, the scientist who went into that germ, and he brought out of that germ the different races that you see, and the last germ that he brought out of it was the white race, and that was a race of devils. Now, a lot of times, people don't want to believe that that type of thing, grafting process, is real, and they act like Yaqub, the big-headed scientist, is some type of myth that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made up. But if they were to just go and Google it in, and Google in Muhammad Yaqub. It's a real descendant down the line of the Yaqub.
Muhammad Yaqub.
If you Google it in, you'll see that there was a real bloodline of Yaqub. That was a black man, and they were a family of scientists. We're not making up nothing. They got it on the internet. Now, see, this is the thing. All things are laid out and made plain today. They are laid out and made plain because Allah, Master Prophet Muhammad, want to make himself known. He wants to make the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad known. And he wants the people to know that it was not a myth, not some fairy tale. And Honorable Elijah Muhammad wasn't reading some science fiction magazine that lost his mind. These things are real. They were taught to him by God. For many, many years, there was no real knowledge of who or what God was. And so people began to make God out of whatever they wanted to make God out of. And then after this devil was grafted, you know, a lot of people, I got to stop right here and say this. A lot of people want to make this like some type of mythological teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But I know they're not so foolish as not to see that this devil right here and his scientists are cloning.
Yes.
They are grafting.
Yes.
They are making other creatures that were not here in the beginning. They even making germ diseases that were not here, life forms that were not here before. They are creating monster disease that don't even have a cure for. They are creating little bitty insects and bugs that carry diseases that can go all up and through your walls and contaminate a whole neighborhood. Now, you can act like you're a fool if you want to, and act like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made up some fairy tale myth. Are all these scientists fairy tales? I mean, we got to look at this. Are all these scientists just having fairy tale myths?
No,
and when you go into the scientific magazine, some of the stuff that these devils are creating in the laboratory will scare you.
They
will scare the socks off of you.
And you know the scary part is you don't know exactly what he's doing when he did it.
Right.
Even your food.
You don't know unless you start traveling and studying and being a scientist right with him and seeing what he's putting. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad covered all that too. He said, study the hadith to live. He said, if you stay in the hadith to live, you won't go off into all that clone food. Just eat the simple foods and keep it very simple. And you won't have to wonder whether you are cloned, whether your brain is cloned. A lot of people, I think, something wrong with them anyway. They eat so much crazy food and eat so much crazy crazy food and synthetic stuff that they may have a cloned brain. That's why they can't think about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings as they should think about them. But anyway, and eat that swine flesh, that's enough to destroy your brain cells where you can't even think. But I'm regressing. Let me go back to Mr. Yaku. So anyway, here we go. Mr. Yaku went into that brown germ and created this white man, this devil. And some of y'all doubting Thomases, just study a little bit more. Go get a scientific book and study a little bit more before you argue. So Mr. Yaku went into the brown germ and he created these races. And the last one he pulled out was the very devil himself. Now, this is not hard to understand for any thinking people and reasoning people. And knowing, if you know anything about biology, you know that you can splice up genes and make different things out of them. You know you can do this. But anyway, so when he went in there, as the brother was saying, and spliced up in this brown germ, that brown germ still exists in us today. So this is why we're able to do the evil things that we do, because we haven't subdued that brown germ. And so what the brother is saying here is that prayer helps you reduce the power of that brown germ. Prayer helps you return to the first thought in your mind, which is God. And so after sojourning here up under this white man and becoming so much like him, because he's our teacher for 40 years, we don't know nothing about that strong black germ that's still in us that is the original creation of man, and that is God. Very few people know about that strong black germ, the life germ, the first germ, because they've been operating off of that weaker germ so long. But anyway, brother, another question that I want to ask you. When you was going through your training in the Nation of Islam, did you feel like it was some type of straitjacket religion? Did you feel like so much pressure was on you that you couldn't have no fun as a teenager? You couldn't do the other things as other teenagers? How'd you feel about that, brother?
Well, growing up and being born into it, I mean, I had no choice but to be in it. But being young, you don't understand it as well. When you have somebody teaching you and teaching you something, I always had in my mind that if your mother and your father teach you something, there's something good behind it. It's always something good behind something that your mother and father that is trying to get you in. It was never a... They never beat me into it, never did anything that was a negative in that religion. So as a young child, I just didn't understand it as well as I understand now, and I'm still getting understanding of being a righteous person and being a righteous Muslim, because I never say I'm grown. I never say I'm grown. I am growing each and every day. Once you say that you're grown, that means that you know everything. You don't know everything. Allah is the best knower, so you will never be grown, because Allah is that one that knows everything, the best knower. But I never felt like it was a straitjacket or something. Oh my God, it's burdening me. I just felt like I want to get into it and see what it is and weigh and balance it. What is it that I'm learning? What is it? So, you know, as a young man, I went out and looked at the different other religions and see if they matched up with this, and it didn't. This Islam is a strong religion. It's not for the weak. It's for the strong people that has a strong mind, a strong heart, a strong spirit of God within them already. A lot of people don't have God in them that's in the religion. And, you know, I hate to say it, but it's the truth. If a religion is only saying it's peace, it's talking about peace and talking about God and talking about righteousness, talking about the good things, what is wrong with that?
Nothing at all, Brother Mike. Brother Michael, there is nothing at all wrong. We're talking about peace and love and unity amongst the people. But one thing we have to realize, the reason why Islam sounds so strange to most black people is because they have been so indoctrinated into the Christian way of thinking that now Islam sounds very, very strange to them. Even though Islam is a way of life, and it was the way of life in which we were created, and it's the natural order of all things created by the one true God, our people are estranged from since this devil have destroyed the love of self within our people, they don't even want to think about a black man being God because they have such low self-esteem and such low thoughts about their own self that it would seem like, how in the world can a black person be God? So we're dealing with all that psychological damage that was done during slavery and the subliminal messages that were sent by the white man that he was God. So now all that has to be unraveled before you can make a people see anything good about their own self.
Right.
So that's what we're going through now. But I was very happy to hear you say something that was so positive here when you said, I'm not grown.
Yes,
you said, I am growing. That is a beautiful way to look at it, because when you say grown, I hear a lot of teenagers, like, by the time they get 18, they say, I'm grown. Or 20, I'm grown. I can do what I want to do. I don't have to listen to my parents anymore. Now, when I look at that, the way you explained it, you said, I'm not grown because I'm continuously growing. That is a beautiful way to look at it, because then someone can finish molding and shaping and helping you. And that one that you want to finish molding, helping and shaping you is the true and the living God. And so I want all you young people out there that's listening to know you're not grown unless you're dead. The brother just put the knowledge out there and laid it on the table. You can't be grown, because when you're grown, you stop growing. And when you stop growing, you die. So now don't keep saying you grown, because now we got the science on that grown thing.
Yeah.
I thank you, brother, for dropping that knowledge on it. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that he had to raise a nation of people and prepare them for God. And so that is the mission that we have here at Muhammad's Talk Radio. We're trying to prepare people mentally, physically, spiritually for God. Because as this world is winding down, and we're going into a new world order, we must have a new mind, a new way of seeing things, and a new way of thinking about things, so that we won't get caught up in the shuffle and get lost and lose our lives. Brother Mike, this is another question I want to ask you. In the Nation of Islam, the brothers had a certain position that they had to do, and the sisters had a certain position or post that they had to hold. Can you elaborate upon the brothers' post in the Nation of Islam for us, please?
Well, the brothers' post, speaking from, if you're affiliated with a mosque or anything, different posts that you have. You go up ranks and you get that, but the post that we're supposed to always have is FOI. You never stop that post. The fruit of Islam, we will always be that till the day that you die. You will be the fruit of Islam. And being that you said you're the fruit of Islam, that you are pure, you are the righteous, you are the ones that goes out to give that freshness to people. We are the ones that give that freshness to people. We are the forefront of this soldiery. We are the forefront. We're the soldiers that go out, and if we have to go out and do for self, not if we have to. We do have to. We have to go out and soldier and stand up and let this devil know that we still exist, and we are the FOI. We wear our bow ties and we wear our suits and we have our proper uniforms that we wear when we go out there, because we are at war, sister. This is an ongoing war that is not over. As long as the devil exists, we're at war. And the FOI, being the fruit of Islam, is the only thing that makes us a soldier in the name of Allah. That makes us a soldier in the name of Allah. So that's our post, and that's our post that we keep on through our whole life. And that's the post that we're supposed to teach generations of brothers to stay in that post. And I teach my sons, you are FOI soldiers. You will always be a soldier in the name of Allah. I don't care where you go, where you think you went, or where you think that you have gone and think that you have learned anything, you will always be a soldier, because that devil will always fight you. So you will always have to be on your post and be a soldier.
Oh, right. Thank you, brother. So the FOI was the military force of the Nation of Islam.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So what was some of the training that the brothers had to do in the FOI?
Some of the training is drill. We had different drills. We had different Quran studies, prayer studies, social studies, knowing how to talk to people. And we also had the physical part of it, the martial arts. The martial arts. And for the record, I am a master in Tang Sudo, Kibudo, and I have a form of my own art that I'm coming out of, is the balance. It's a balance of different arts that's put together in one. And we had the fatherhood, the husbandry, to learn how to be a good husband, to be a good father, just to be a good man, period. To be a God and know who you are, you have to master these things. You have to master all these things to be a good person, to walk yourself into being that God. Because a lot of us are not being those gods that we are. We're not mastering everything that we have, but during the training that we went through, that was to build us up to master those. Master being a husband, master being a father, master even in drill to be sharp turns. So the drill helped you to focus, to look around, observe things, turn 90-degree to angles, know your angles, and the physical part of it to keep us in shape. So when we go out on these streets and we have our pie, we have our papers, we had to be on post at all times. And the meaning of drill, knowing the meaning of drill, meal is the
remember some of it. Drill is the military discipline that compels a unit to act as one. I don't remember the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry, sister. I'm sorry.
Drill is the
and I was a drill captain. That's pretty. Oh, wait a minute, sister. I think I got it. The meaning of drill. Drill is the foundation of military discipline. It compels the habits of obedience as the unit moves together as one. That's the meaning of drill.
Wow, thank you, brother. I thought we had kind of lost it there for a minute, because
I knew.
Yeah,
I did. I'm sorry.
I knew that you were one of.
I apologize, brother. Therefore, I told you, brother. I'm sorry.
That's okay, brother. I mean, we all got to practice on the things that we need to get sharp on, but I'm glad it came back to your mind.
Yes.
And say that one more time for us, brother.
Drill is the foundation of military discipline. It compels the habits of obedience as the unit moves together as one.
Now, you hear that? Habits of obedience as a unit moves together as one. In other words, now, that drill is preparing you for unity of one thought, one mind, and one motion. That is beautiful. So that means that when these brothers go out there and they practice a drill, don't just look at that like they're doing some fancy footwork and it's a great entertainment. These brothers are showing you that they're thinking as one. As the drill sergeant gives that order, all of them can move out on it. And that's where our power lies, moving together as one. I thank you so much, Brother Michael, this time you have spent here with me. And may Allah continue to bless you on your forward journey in life. Peace and blessings to you. We're going to take a short station break here. This is Muhammad Talk Radio here on Blog Talk. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you. Thank you for staying tuned to this station, Muhammad Talk Radio. I am your host, Sister Talija Mahadada, and today I'm just having a talk here with some of the brothers from the Nation of Islam, and for them to give a perspective of different things that they have experienced in the Nation of Islam, and so that they can let the world of black men know out there that it was a real movement, and it still is a real movement, because the Nation of Islam hasn't really went anywhere. The Nation of Islam, as taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is still alive and well. I have here with me now in the second half of the show, I have here Brother Jihad Mahadada, and this is my husband, been my husband for 40 years. And we have practiced the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and has been a student of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad for 40 years since we have been married. And I just want my husband to be able to express some of the things that we have experienced in the Nation of Islam, how Islam has helped us to stay together as a married couple, how like the discipline of our lives and the trials and tribulations that we have gone through. I just want him to talk to the brothers out there and give them some of the wisdom and knowledge that Allah has given to him and us in our sojourning here in the wilderness of North America, and how we were able to hold on to the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad against all obstacles. Welcome, Brother Jihad. Please talk to our listening audience here, please.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Captain Jihad Muharris. What kept me and my beloved wife together was our love for each other and love for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Master Farah Muhammad. And we helped each other to be ourselves. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that the greatest gift is for your mate to let you be yourself. And what is yourself? A righteous Muslim. My wife was one of the ones that took me to the temple. And she was 18 years old, and I had just came from Vietnam in 1967. And when the minister said that the white man was the devil, I knew that that was the truth. Now, during the month of Ramadan in 1986, I came home, and there was my wife with a picture of Master Farah Muhammad coming from a neighbor's house. So I asked her what was going on, and she said that they wanted to know who God was. So she showed them a picture of Master Farah Muhammad, and they started laughing at the picture and said he had on a three-piece suit. So God told her to go back to the neighbor's house and tell them that your God said that it's going to be an earthquake. Remember, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us God is a man. He is the one you can't tune in on him unless he wants you to. That is what makes him a special God. He sees and hears everything. A few days later, Master Farah Muhammad told us to leave Cleveland, Ohio, and go to Chicago, Illinois, to let everyone know that Master Farah Muhammad is the God of this dispensation. By the way, they did have an earthquake in Cleveland, Ohio. and they had not had one in 80 years. They tell me that the neighbors were in the streets as the ground was shaking, calling my wife's name. This was in 1987, January 31st. The New Madrid was created. We lived in Chicago for 1 year. I have land down in the south, so I asked my wife if she would like to go down south to live. But Master Farah Muhammad said, "Don't go down south. I am going to bring lots of storms down through the south." This was in 1987. So Master Farah Muhammad told us to go to Detroit. Master Farah Muhammad told us to open up a school and name it Zakat Institute. When a new God comes on the scene, he always brings something new. He said, "All the Muslims will give you respect." We opened up the schools, grades K through 12, starting with our own four children. After about 6 months, we had about 40 children in our school and was blessed with a big school building. In the new building, we had about 100 students. We had the school for about 15 years. Our beloved sister Talijah went back to Allah December 2010 during the time of the eclipse, and we had not had one in 379 years. And when the eclipse left, she left. She left us with the greatest gift that a mother could give to her family, revelations from God, Master Farah Muhammad. And when she stood before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Master Farah Muhammad in the spiritual world, she was given the degree of Godhood. Man can rise no higher than his woman. Take it or leave it. This is the truth. Master Farah Muhammad is the God of this dispensation, and he chooses whom he pleases. Thank you for listening.